There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Yesterday morning, we talked about CSR on the program, and today, corporate governance. In many ways, they're linked subjects, encouraging companies to do the right thing. Pleased now to welcome to the studio a man we last talked to in Ramadan 27 months ago, Edward Parmisano, the head of international at the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Good morning to you, Edward. Thanks for coming back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Last time you were with us, Channel 10 in Australia had just gone into receivership, which is a company with big backers, but with poor corporate governance. And corporate governance won't overcome bad management and poor market conditions. So explain what it is and why it's a good thing.
Yes, I mean, corporate governance really is a good thing. It's really the central concept is the separation of the board's function and the management. And if you have a strong performing corporate governance team, it leads to greater transparency, accountability, greater investment confidence, greater trust with key stakeholders, especially the share market. So I think the fundamentals of corporate governance are very important to get right.
Do you think the people that were just using, for instance, that example of Channel 10, that they didn't get it right? Because it was a big company, but it took a takeover by CBS to save 10. I mean, are there any organisations that are too big or too important to fail?
Well, you can imagine that I won't get drawn into individual cases.
I understand that, yeah.
Like
but,
that.
I mean,
but by no means.
Second bit of it, are there organisations which are too big or too important to fail?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I think you've had several cases of companies that are very big and that have failed directly as a result of their corporate governance environment.
Do you mean people like Enron or more recently?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, certainly Enron. And while they haven't failed as such in Australia, we've had recent royal commissions into our banking sector, into our aged care providers, into child protection. And I think those different royal commissions have highlighted large organisations that really have faced significant challenges in their corporate governance.
I guess if you did a straw poll of our listeners this morning, they would probably say that it's market conditions is their biggest challenge rather than poor corporate governance. I mean, many companies struggling here in Dubai and around the world at the moment, and retail, for instance, here springs to mind. With the best will in the world, can good corporate governance overcome appalling market conditions?
Well, we believe it can, and we're in the UAE this week speaking to many of those sorts of organisations, not just in the private sector, but in government, not-for-profit. And there really is a great commitment, I think, to corporate governance in the UAE. And I think there is confidence that strong corporate governance can allow those organisations to withstand some of the complexities that they face in the commercial environment.
Does what counts as good corporate governance actually evolve? Does it change? I mean, we're seeing a massive change in the rise of populism, in the way it's, I don't know, almost acceptable to speak to people. I'm thinking of the US president calling out the head of the Federal Reserve.
Bonehead.
Is it an evolving beast?
It certainly is evolving, and we work around the world, not just in the Middle East, but in Asia, the Pacific, as far afield as Europe and America. And so each of those markets has a different approach to corporate governance. And so there is both an evolution in terms of time, but there's also difference in different markets. And so we're certainly seeing evolution, but we're certainly also seeing recurring themes across those markets in terms of board composition, board culture, board competence. And I can elaborate on those if you need.
Well, you've got a course coming up here on 24th, 28th of November, haven't you? And I guess that the course has helped people in senior positions. But do you actually do things like Brandy was saying, teach people not to use intemperate language, not to alienate people? Is it a very personal thing, or is it more about books and numbers?
I think it's, yes, we're certainly here in November to deliver our International Company Director course, and that is really pitched at an international level for company directors who are leading their organisations across jurisdictions. They might have a parent board in Dubai, but a subsidiary board in another country in the region. And so where we're operating is at a global level of global best practice. But I don't think it's so much as books and numbers. It's really going to the heart of good governance, and that is the board's role in setting the strategic direction of the organisation, the board's role in setting the risk appetite, the board's role in setting the culture and the tone from the top. But then crucially, the board not interfering in management decisions and that separation of roles and responsibilities. So we spend a lot of the time in our programs talking about risk, strategy, culture. We also, there's a piece on driving financial performance and the sorts of questions from a board perspective that the board should be asking of the management team.
How does a board start with risk management at the moment when we've got so many outliers? Brexit, the trade wars we've got at the moment, even the massive jump in cyber attacks and the type of cyber attacks that companies need to be prepared for.
We've seen boards, the approach to risk management has evolved. Some countries are more advanced than other countries. I think in some markets, risk is seen more as a compliance function, a tick-the-box exercise, whereas those companies that really truly engage in proper risk analysis are able to identify those much bigger risks. You mentioned cyber, trade wars and so on. And so I think that any organisation that's operating internationally that is not considering those sorts of risks, those black swan risks that we talk about, or the unknown unknowns, really isn't applying the full rigour to their risk management process.
Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us again a couple of years after you were last here. Pleasure to talk to you. Edward Parmisano, Head of International at the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Thanks for joining us and good luck with your forthcoming course in November.
Thanks very much for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.